Thank you, Brother Byron.
Good evening.
Good to see each of you here this midweek evening.
Usually,
the time when many of us have been working all day and we don't feel like it, but we come anyway, and when we leave, we're glad that we came. And I trust that that's the way it is tonight. Good to see you, and good to be here again with you to speak to you from the Word of God. Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, please, a portion of Scripture in the New Testament and then back in the Old Testament. The first one is found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Just before we begin to read this evening, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we have again to gather here. We've been singing praises to Thee. Our voices have blended together in prayer. And now, Father, as we open Your Word this evening, we pray that You might use this Word to speak to our hearts. Encourage us, we pray, as Your people, and if there are those in our midst tonight who know You not as their personal Savior, we pray that they too might be challenged tonight to make it right with God. Here the door of mercy closes. Bless Your Word. Speak through us, Lord. We are Your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8 and one verse, verse 28. This is a beautiful verse of Scripture, and there's a lot to it, and I think that we as Christians, we do not look at it as often as we should, in the light that we should, so that we might be encouraged from it more than we do. The writer says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Now tonight, I'm going to be speaking particularly to those who profess to know the Lord. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, I trust that your heart will be challenged. But this message tonight, particularly to those of us that profess to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Then we turn in the Old Testament to the 37th chapter of Genesis, and there is a familiar story there. And for the sake of time, I won't read too many verses. 37th chapter of Genesis. All of us are familiar with this story. I'm just going to read from verse 3 of the 37th chapter. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably or friendly unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, 'Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. We were binding sheaves in a field, and my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and bowed down, or made obeisance to me.' And his brethren said to him, 'Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?' And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told his brethren, and said, 'Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars made obeisance, or bowed down to me.' And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, 'What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, and thy mother, and thy brethren, indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?' And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." I'm sure that the Lord will bless the reading of His Word to our hearts tonight. I want us to think for a little while this evening, as time permits, on understanding and overcoming the whys of our life. W-H-Y. And I'll guarantee you this evening that there's not one of us here that have not at some time or the other in our lives asked the simple question, why? Why? Perhaps you are here tonight in this meeting and there's something in your life, something happening, unknown to maybe many of us, known only to yourself and known to God, and you ask the question, why? Why are these things happening in our life? When we look at the story of this young man, Joseph, we see here an immature man, young man, 17 years old. He's at the beginning stages, we would say, of his young life. But yet, as we read that story, and there are several chapters of it, we see a young life that is filled with many challenges. And the thought comes, why? Why is his life filled with these challenges? But we also see in the life of this young man something that is important, so important, and something that unfortunately many of God's people failed to recognize, is that he has a consistent faith in God. You see it as you read through the chapters of this young man's life. Over and over and over again, we see the consistency of his faith in God. He believed his God. He believed what God said. He believed his promises. Oh, would to God this evening, beloved, that you and I, as we read his word and we live our lives accordingly, that we would learn to believe his word and trust him. We have a mighty God that we serve. We have a God, the scripture says, that is able and capable of doing that beyond that you and I can even begin to think or imagine. And we need to trust him. We need to learn to obey him. Was this young man living in different days than you and I are living? The answer is no. He was living in difficult times. He faced many difficult situations and many challenges, perhaps some more than you and I will ever face in our lives. But through it all, we see that he had learned one great lesson, and that lesson was to keep faith in his God. Keep faith in his God. Beloved, there are so many things that happens in our world in which we live, that happens in our lives. And as our brethren mentioned tonight in prayer, even here on this island, there are many things that have been happening over the past year. We haven't been with you for 2 years, and there's been many things that have happened in this community. Many hearts have been broken. Many lives have been changed. Much heartaches, many tears shed. But I am a firm believer that for the child of God, that verse of scripture that I read, that everything that happens in our lives, everything that happens in our lives, the scripture says, it happens for a purpose. It happens for a purpose. The writer says, and we know that all, not just a part of what happens in my life or your life, not just a quarter of it, but all things work together for good. And beloved, this evening we have got to come to that point in our lives, although we may shed tears, although our hearts are aching, and we ask the questions, why? But we have to come to that point in our lives to realize that God is in it, and he knows all about it, and he wants us to trust him. He's in it, and He wants us to trust Him. And I will say this evening, unequivocally, if you and I can trust Him and have faith in Him and believe without a doubt this evening that He has forgiven us of our sins and that we're on our way to heaven, then there is no reason why we cannot believe that He can do what we think is impossible. There's no reason. He's the same God. He doesn't change. The Scripture says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we have to trust. Amidst the many twists and turns of our life, and sometimes they are so unreal. Sometimes we just can't begin to imagine them as they come into our lives. But we are His children, and He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to put our faith in Him. Paul in his writings in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. As children of God, we walk by faith. We have to believe in Him. We have to believe that He is who He says that He is. We have to believe that He can do what He says that He can do. And beloved, if we trust Him, it will happen if it's according to His will. I've experienced much of it in my life, and I'm sure that you have. And Paul wrote that we can trust Him. And the reason that we can, he says in Romans 8:37, in all of these things, we, who's we? You and I who know Him, who have acknowledged Him as our Savior, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Beloved, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the battle has already been won. You and I just have to have faith. We have to believe. And sad to say, if we don't believe, if we don't allow that faith in God to build and to be encouraged in our service to Him, if we reject it, if we want to go our own ways, we're going to find that we will never live to enjoy that peace of God in our hearts and our lives that passes all understanding. There are many things in our lives that can either make us as Christians or break us. I was talking even today, and you know, as I sat and prepared this message, I was just thinking about the many things that have happened in life and even here on this island. And I was saying, well, maybe God, you know, it's just not right the time to preach this kind of a message. And I just pray to God. And today, as I came out early this morning to prayer meeting, I met someone that I had never expected to meet here. I was sitting in this church at the prayer meeting. He's in here tonight. And we sat and we talked for a while, and he said things as he and I were talking, that I knew that God was speaking to me, yes, this is the time. This evening, earlier my wife and I met with a sister, and as we were talking, there were things that she said that I knew that God is speaking. God says, yes, it is the time. It is the time that we talk about this. It is the time, the right time, that we think about these things in our lives. We can't hide. We need to trust God. We need to put our faith in God. And in our lives, when we do, we will enjoy that peace that passes all understanding. When we look at Joseph, when we study his life, when we study the difficulties and the experiences he had, we see through it all, he kept the faith. And the finished product in his life that was directed by God was awesome. It was awesome. Beloved saints, this evening I encourage you, as we go through these difficulties in life, let's not just throw up our hands in despair. Let's just not feel within our hearts that God is incapable. He can't do it. He can't handle it. We're going to do it on our own. Beloved, we got to trust God. We got to have faith in God. We got to believe that our God is real. We got to believe that our God never changes. We got to believe that He is able. He is able. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." We ever stop and think about that? Our God is able to do abundantly above all that you and I can ever ask or even think. That's the God this evening that loves us. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that changed our lives. That's the God that we can go to in any time and in any circumstance of our life and commit our lives to Him and believe that He's going to see us through. That He's going to see us through. I wonder tonight if you've ever had an experience in your life where you committed it to God and you knew without a doubt that He would see you through. And maybe through it you shed tears. Maybe through it you went through some difficult times in your life. But at the end, He brought you through. It came to pass. You saw the light. And then you could look back on it and say, "Thank God. Thank God. He's a God that I can trust. He's a God who understands. He's a God who cares. Beloved, He can bring us through whatever the situation in life may be. He never changes." When we look at the beginning of Joseph's troubles, we see, number one, that a lot of it came through his father. But God, you see, God, we have to understand this many times when we question why. God works through people. He works through things. He works various ways in our lives to get you and I to trust Him, to get our attention, to get our minds fixed on Him, to let Him know that we trust Him, that we believe Him, to let Him know that we have that faith in Him, that He can do anything. The passages that I read to you this evening, we see here that he was used by his father to spy on his brothers. He was promoted as the favorite son above the other 10 or 11 brothers. And in the midst of all of this, we see his brethren, their hatred grew for him. There was jealousy and anger. And later on, an even greater consequence in his life. And so we ask, well, why? Why would God allow this to happen in the life of this young man? And we find the answer for that question in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. And it behooves you and I, beloved, this evening as children of God, to read this passage, to understand what thus saith the Lord. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." His thoughts are not ours. His ways are not ours. All that he asks is you and I to wait upon him, you and I to commit our lives to him. You and I to trust him. The prophet Isaiah writes, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And then the songwriter says, "Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord." Beloved, that's the God that we serve. That's the condition that we should live our lives in. That God is above all, far above all, and He is able and capable and willing to take care of all of those things in our lives. God was grooming this young man, Joseph, for a position that he never dreamed of. God was using his father and his brothers to test him and try him in areas of his life that he never dreamed of. And you tonight might be going through similar circumstances in your life that you never dreamed of. But, oh, Christian brother and sister, I pray tonight that by the grace of God you will hold on. Trust him. Look to him. He is able to bring you through. But if you give up, if you give in, you'll never receive the victory that God has for you. You will never accomplish what God has in store for your life. There's something better down the road of life that God has in store for every one of us here tonight. And the only way that we will find out what it is to hold to His unchanging hand, to trust Him, not to despair, not to throw up our hands when things get rough. There's a saying that when things get tough, the tough gets going. But that should not be the motto in our lives as Christians. When things get tough, we need to turn to the one that can handle any tough situation. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might say this evening, well, that's easy to say, brother. It's hard to do. Beloved, it's easy to say, and it's easy to do if you love the Lord. If you got faith in your God, if you believe what His Word says is true, because I want to assure you tonight that it is true, that He can bring you through any situation of your life. We've been through it. My wife and I were talking today. She didn't know what I was going to speak about tonight. And I assured her that unless I felt led to do so, I wouldn't mention it, but I feel led to do so because some of you are here and perhaps you don't know. I want to share this with you and my own personal life. Because it's important that we realize what God can do and what God does in one's life. And it can go either way, as I've already mentioned. We can turn from God, we can throw up our hands in despair, turn our backs on God, and live miserable lives for the rest of our life. And I've seen it happen. Or we can turn to God and ask God for that grace that passes all understanding. For He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And He didn't say that as words to play with or joke around, but those are serious words from God. And He means that for every one of us tonight, 20 years ago today, we got a telephone call that devastated our lives. Our only daughter and son-in-law was killed instantly in an airplane crash. 20 years today. Some of you I know have lost loved ones. We've all lost loved ones. But when it comes to your child, the only daughter, only son, it's difficult. It's hard. And we went through that. And we could have turned bitter. We were ministering at the time in Treasure Key, driving every Sunday from Marsh Harbor down to keep the church open. And the first thing that the devil threw in my mind was, hey, look at what's happened in your life. You said you love God and you're serving God. And look at what He's done to you. He wanted me to feel sorry for myself. That's what He does to you. That's what He does to all of us. He wants us to get in that position where we throw up our hands in despair and we say, oh God, where were you when I needed you the most? I don't try and go out of my home and I don't need you, God. We do. And I beg of you tonight, for God's sake, don't turn your back on Him. Trust Him. He's there. Just as He was in the life of this young man, Joseph, He's still there. He's the same God. He never changes. Yesterday, today, forever, He's always there. And God saw us through this situation. We still weep about it. Even today, 20 years later. Because she's still the same daughter that we had 20 years ago. We love her just the same. But God loved her better. And that was a problem, a difficult problem in my life, I must admit, when it happened. But by the grace of God, He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And I will never forget, as I share this with you, I will never forget. I flew back to Arkansas. And there we put together the belongings. And the morning that I was leaving, with tears in my eyes and a few of her belongings in my hand, I had a two-hour drive to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to catch a flight back to Atlanta, Georgia. It was cold, 35 degrees, damp, dark, and my heart was breaking. I was alone. Alone. I got on that airplane, and we took off. And as I looked out of the windows of that airplane, it was completely dark. It was like we were just going through mud. And the tears were coming down my cheeks. And as we just went up and up and up, and then all of a sudden, the sun began to shine again. I said, thank you, God. I needed that. That was a message to me that said, as we go through the dark things of life, trust God, the sun will shine again. Beloved, I encourage you tonight. Trust God. Though dark the night may be, the sun will shine again. God allows things to work together, all things, for good. Don't ask me to tell you the reason why it happened. He had his purpose, but I know that through it, he has worked through our lives to encourage others' lives. And this is what was happening here in the life of Joseph. He had gone through all of these things. He had gone through the hatred of his brethren. And now he comes here in chapter, verses 12 through 27 of this same chapter. And we see anger has replaced the love. We see sarcasm has replaced sound thinking. Murder is being contemplated. Where is God in all of this for this young man? I want to tell you, God's right there. He's never gone anywhere. He's right there. Don't ever take your eyes off of him. Don't ever shut him out of your life. Never. He's always there. His plan for your life and my life is as a puzzle. We've all put puzzles together. And we picked a little piece from here and we put a little piece in there. And gradually, slowly, but surely, and then one day, there is that little piece. That's all that's needed to complete that final part of that puzzle. And that's what God is doing in your life and mine. And that's why I'm here tonight. And that's why I hope that this is a message of encouragement to you. Your life, God is using it. He has a plan and a purpose. And we may not know now why or what it is. And we may not understand the twists and the turns. We may not understand the people and the things that have come into our lives. But, beloved, God has a plan for every life. And your life is different than mine. Every life is different. We're all different, and He has different plans for our lives. And we're going to go through these things in our life. Just as Joseph did. He went through these things. But there's one thing that we need to remember. It's going to all come to a complete end in His time. In His time. We may not understand now. We may not understand why. It may be rough. But it is for purposes, as the hymn writer says, known only to Him. Known only to Him. Joseph's brethren took him, they threw him into a pit, they killed an animal, they dipped his blood into it, they sold him as a slave down into Egypt, and we know the rest of the story, that eventually after this young man, and we don't see anywhere in the scriptures that he ever complained, but this young man had a faith in God. A faith that was real, a faith that trusted his God, and he went through the prisons and he went through the system all by himself. All by himself. But yet when we read the end result, we see his brethren coming and bowing down to him. Everything that God had shown to him in that dream came true. And he became the second most highest man in the land of Egypt. Now I ask you tonight, do you believe that this would have happened in his life had he rebelled against God? Had he said, God, why are you doing this to me? You're ruining my life. I don't need you, God. I can go somewhere else and do something better. But he stayed the course. He believed this God was able to do all that he said that he could. Do you believe that tonight, my beloved? Do you believe that the God that you serve can take care of you in any situation of life? Do you believe that in those moments of time, when you are in those dark moments, that God is there? Do you look to Him? Do you trust Him? You know, I've seen other people as well, and I've talked with them. They've gone through some difficult times, and I've had people say to me, how can those people go through that, what they've gone through, and be the way they are? You know why? Because they had that peace of God in their hearts that passes all understanding. There was some friends of ours, dear friends, and perhaps some of you know them, but I won't call a name. But the husband died, and we were talking with the wife just the day before, and she said to my wife and I can't make it without him. I don't know what I'm going to do. He died the next day. We saw her later on, and we talked with her, and she said to us, I don't know what it was, but when he died, there was a peace that came over my heart that I can't begin to describe. Beloved, that's the peace that God gives when we trust Him. That's what it's all about. That's what being a Christian is all about. Knowing God, having faith in God, trusting God, beginning to understand the whys. And perhaps we'll never understand it fully in this life. But the hymn writer says, one day we'll understand it better. Oh, by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, we're going to understand it better. But in the meantime, I encourage you tonight, as Joseph of old did. He just kept on keeping on, trusting God, believing God. God brought him through, and He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. He's done it for me. I know that. And I'm sure tonight there are those of you here that can say the same thing. He's done it for me. Praise God. That's what it's all about. That's the joy of serving the Lord, of knowing Him. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I beg of you. I beg of you. Find Him. This peace that passeth all understanding. The joy that only He and He alone can give, that can take us through these difficulties of our lives. Oh, beloved, may God bless our hearts tonight. We've just touched this tonight. There's so much in this life of this young man that we can look at and see how God just worked and how he trusted and how God brought him through. He was where God wanted him to be. Are you and I tonight where God wants us to be? Are we the people that God wants us to be? Are we in those positions tonight where God wants us to be? Should something happen in our lives or in the lives of our loved ones or in our businesses or whatever it may be, that instead of throwing our hands up in despair like many do, we'll say, God, we trust You. We trust You. And He'll see you through. I trust tonight, my friends, that this message has been a blessing to your heart. Remember that all things work together
for good to them that love God. If you love God tonight, and if you're going through difficult times, God is working through your life for good. I have a saying that I like to tell people when I talk to them, and I trust that you may remember this. God does not allow these things to happen in our lives to make us bitter, but He brings them to make us better. There's a lot of difference between bitter and better. I pray that God will use His word tonight to encourage our hearts to trust Him for His name's sake. Amen. Father, we thank You tonight for Your word. Thank You for this beautiful passage of Scripture about this young man. Lord, we know his life. We know the things that occurred in his life. We know that there were many times perhaps he wondered why. But Your word reminds us that he was faithful to You. And You honored him for his faithfulness. You brought him through, as You promised You will do. And this evening, we who know You as our Savior can claim that very same promise, that You are faithful. We just have to trust You, Lord. We just have to put our faith in You and know that whatever twist and turn our life may take, we have to say, Thy will be done. And You will give us that grace sufficient to meet that need, and You will bring us through. We're reminded again of those words, the sun will shine again. Bless hearts and lives tonight in this meeting, O God, we pray. Meet needs according to Your precious will, and we'll be careful to praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we can sing just the first verse and chorus of number 301, and then our service will be over. 301. Thank you.